Welcome to Nutmeg Junction. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. We have two Professor A stories in our trolley ride of imagination. The first story is The Simulacrum, starring Lana Peck, Kurt Boucher, Tiffy McKay, A.J. Lynn, Jason Kulas, Rich Sear, and Amanda Yount. Please enjoy our first story, Professor A, The Simulacrum.
We must keep our focus on the problem at hand, Miss Gentry. The Anacondians have requested our help in their most desperate hour.
Hour? We've been here on Anacondia for days, Professor.
A figure of speech.
Truth be told, considering the situation with Dr. Aubert, it sort of feels like we've been here even longer.
Tell me about it. And by tell me about it, I mean I'm using another figure of speech. You don't have to relate anything to me that I don't already know. I shall focus on the famine problem for our reptilian friends and try to treat Dr. Robert and his issue with understanding and patience. I admit it may be a very trying experience for all concerned.
Oh, Professor, do you know what love is?
It is an imprecise word in English, is it not? The ancient Greeks, ancient to you, of course, used four words instead of one to describe love. The Baffins on Barillion 4 have 47 words for it, but you know how the Baffins are. And as for our present situation, the Anacondian female you seem to have attached yourself to is part of a culture that utilizes nonverbal and tactile communication techniques, more than verbal cues. So there are hundreds of variants of the one word love.
Hundreds of variants of love, Professor.
Don't lose yourself, Robert. Think it through. They also have hundreds of variants for the word oatmeal, too. Hardly extraordinary.
Hundreds of variants of oatmeal, Professor. But your point is sound, Professor. There are so many ways to love.
The ancient Greeks used the word agape, storge, philia, and eros. Agape might best be defined as divine love, as in love from the Creator through those whom the Creator creates, and vice versa.
Like a parent to their children?
No, that's storge, familial love.
Ah, love of family, like sister to sister, brother to brother.
No, that's philia, commonly referred to as brotherly love. Unfortunately, what our Dr. Robert thinks he is experiencing is eros, which is romantic love.
Is there anything more wonderful than romance? And look, here she comes, my beautiful Quadrawindra Luna Lystra. Do you know what that means?
She's in desperate need of a nickname?
Daughter of the Four Winds of the Moon. Isn't that beautiful?
It's certainly a name that gives one pause.
Robert, my Lubit, my pet.
Pardon Iris, Quadrawindra Luna Lystra.
Oh, pardon Iris?
Of course. Better soon, Professor. Better soon, Miss Gentry.
Much appreciated. You have cast a spell on our dear Dr. Robert.
I look forward to the constriction ceremony.
Oh, constriction ceremony. I don't know what it is, but I like it. Sounds saucy.
I must take you home for dinner. Excuse us.
Professor, may I take leave of you for now?
Be back before sundown, Robert, and take no part of any ceremony before you see me.
Of course. You want to bear witness to it, I trust.
No. But see me all the same.
See you soon.
You as well, Miss Gentry.
What does pardon Iris mean?
Roughly translated, it means don't touch me, I have a small cold. A much valued phrase on Anacondia. The Anacondians have extremities that have serpentine qualities.
I notice the reptilian features. The scales are ornate and quite beautiful. I can see why Dr. Aubert has been intrigued.
The Anacondian female exudes a pheromone during mating season, and unfortunately we have arrived here exactly during that season. More importantly, with their penchant for nonverbal communication, an essential feature for a serpentine species, the misinterpretation was too much for Dr. Robert to bear.
Can you explain further, Professor?
Humans crave contact as a general rule. but pronounced bodily contact can be misinterpreted for amorous intent. Robert's interaction with Quadrowinder Lunar Lystra evolved from polite interaction to reciprocation to infatuation rather quickly.
All from intense physical contact?
And the pheromone, Miss Gentry. Their species is highly attuned to the sense of smell, and the pheromone is very powerful. Once attracted, a male Anacondian can travel many kilometers to find a potential mate. Speaking of which, pardon me for asking, Miss Gentry, this may seem to be an impertinent and irrelevant question, but the relevancy is quite unfortunate, if my suspicions are correct. Tell me, did you put on some sort of perfume before we arrived?
Well, just a little. Is it a problem?
We may find out. An Anacondian male is approaching our lab, and I don't care for his purposeful demeanor.
Hello, ladies. So very nice to see you. Come here often.
Pardon Iris!
Pardon Iris.
Of course. Better soon, you know. I did get my shots.
How very thoughtful to share that with us, sir. But this is a bedtime. Our species hasn't molted yet.
But of course, we'll meet again later, perhaps.
Perhaps.
We must get on with our assignment, and we must trust that Dr. Robert can handle himself without landing in further trouble for now.
Robert, this is my mother, Matrabala Formalistra.
Pleasure to meet you, Matrabala Formalistra.
You're a different sort of creature. You will make quite an interesting feast.
I am quite a chef. How did you know? You know, in my younger days, I could create a four-course meal out of ramen noodles, tuna fish, and, you know, whatever anyone had in the fridge.
Interesting. All we have in the house is oatmeal. That is, until now.
Fascinating. You know, my companions, the professor and Miss Gentry, never take me up on my culinary skills. I don't know why.
Their loss is our gain, yes?
Mother, Dr. Robert is my intended for constriction.
How selfish to keep him for yourself. Your sister will be very displeased.
I'm home. Who's this? He's very interesting.
He's mine, Adelphi Nifilifilistra.
Your family is so very friendly. So much contact between you all.
You have little contact with your friends?
I once shook hands with my father, then we both apologized and watched BBC Two until the embarrassment passed.
Physical contact is a must here. And during the constriction ceremony, it will literally take your breath away.
I can hardly wait.
The solution to the famine may stem from solving the cause of the problem. There are fewer small creatures that the Anacondians feed on because there are fewer plants for the smaller creatures to feed upon. It is the food chain. One small alteration can affect every other link in the chain.
Why are there fewer plants here?
Because the Anacondians have been exterminating what they consider to be a nuisance insect species. But the insect species was useful for pollination. When the Anacondians sprayed their plant life with the insecticide, the insects stopped going there for the food source. The cycle needs to be jump-started with the insects that still remain.
How should that be done, Professor?
The problem is so serious, we can't rely on nature to rebuild what has been destroyed on its own. We must create something artificial for now, and then forge a bridge from artifice to reality.
Professor, this thing between Dr. Abert and Quadra Winda Luna Lystra, do you think what they have is real?
What he is feeling is quite real, at least to him. An experience may have no basis in reality, and yet it could feel real to the participant. A simulacrum.
So is he living a lie?
Oh, that's too strong a word. There are two individual entities who experience the world in two different ways. Neither is lying to the other at all. And yet, what one party believes is occurring is not occurring for the other.
But what does Quadra Winda Luna Lystra really want with Dr. Robert?
The biological cycle of the Anacondian requires reproduction of the species at a set interval. There is a primal instinct perpetuating the desire for that general outcome, and the element that fulfills the outcome is not the primary object. Had we landed on Anacondia earlier or later than this season, Robert would hold as much interest to Quadra Winda Luna Lystra as you or I, just an alien oddity.
And what of Robert?
He wishes to love and be loved.
Do we have the duty to let Robert know this? Does it matter if he's happy? I've rarely seen Dr. Robert so happy. I mean, besides all the other times this has happened. I hate to take this away.
Miss Gentry, in time I may be able to share with you the exact nature of the multiverse, the flaws of quantum physics, the pure joy and wonder of true math, and yet I may never be able to tell you the best course of action when you believe a friend loves unwisely. We are receiving another visitor from the lab. It is Dr. Trillivilli Millie Cyrustra.
Professore.
Pardon, Iris?
Of course, better soon. And Miss Gentry.
Anacondians have the best hugs.
On behalf of my species, thank you for the compliment, Miss Gentry.
Get to know me better and we can be on a first-name basis.
I look forward to that pleasure. Tell me, have you divined how we can solve the famine?
We may have a solution for the problem, Dr. Trillivilli Millie Cyrustra. Anacondians must first stop exterminating insect creatures. Protect them with all your might. If you're in a hole, the first action must be to stop digging.
I agree. And we will comply, but what then?
We are creating a scent, which should bring the remaining insects back to your flora.
But haven't we been teaching them over time that approaching our flowers is dangerous? How do we know they will come back?
With a powerful enough scent, natural instinct will override fear. You, of course, have your oatmeal to tide you over until nature can take its course.
Thank you, Professor and Miss Gentry. I will leave you to it.
I noticed you didn't say pardon Iris, Miss Gentry.
Well, he's rather fetching, isn't he?
Of course, Miss Gentry, of course.
Professor, we are here to help. Me and my beloved Quadra Winda Luna Lystra.
Thank you, Dr. Robert. Quadra Winda Luna Lystra. Please, take your applicator sprayers.
What is that foul stench?
It may be malodorous to you, but it will be irresistible to the insects.
I can't touch this. I can't even be here. It is vile.
Don't worry, my love. I shall catch up to you after my duties here.
Now spray these targets. Look, we have not even begun, and some of the insects have found their way towards the containers. It is a more powerful scent than I even had intended. Quickly, let us be about our work. Our work is done. Look, the insects are returning to their natural surroundings.
The insects will pollinate the plants that the smaller creatures eat, and then the smaller creatures will proliferate, which means the larger creatures will be sustained.
Here comes Dr. Trillivilli Millie Cyrustra.
Congratulations, Professor. Miss Gentry. Oh, my word, what is that stench?
No hugs?
Oh, pardon, Iris.
Better soon, of course.
Of course, better soon.
Where is my quadra window Luna Lystra?
I just can't, my darling. I can't be with you anymore.
But my beloved, I can wash.
Oh, but I will always associate you with that smell, and I can't even. It is too much, too much.
But the scent will save you from famine. Think of it as the stink of survival.
Can I be of assistance, Quadra Winda Luna Lystra?
Maybe. Maybe. Farewell, Dr. Robert. You were almost the best thing since sliced bread, but you gave me plenty of food for thought.
I guess it is over between us. I shall never be the same.
Fortunately, you came through after the relationship you had with the Boffin from Barellion 4 and the Valentinian from the Valor system.
The symbiote of Trenchant Major?
Oh, that's right. Forgot about her.
This time it was different. This time I was consumed with passion.
Consumed with passion is a good way to describe the immediate aftermath of a constriction ceremony. It's best the situation ended when it did, Robert. Come along, students. We've done what we can here.
The scent of adventure awaits us.
I love our adventures.
I love them too. I wonder, Professor, which is the best word for the love of our adventures? Whether the word is from ancient Greeks or otherwise.
The love of our adventures. Just experience them and enjoy them, and in time, perhaps you'll create a new word all your own.
Did the professor just tell a joke?
Perhaps a few more adventures, and we'll find out.
Our second Professor A story is The Time Zero Trap, featuring Lana Peck, Kurt Boucher, Michael Illion, and Katerina Quinones. Please enjoy.
We've made it here, Professor, but there was a problem with the vortex corridor. For a moment, there seemed to be like we weren't going to make it.
Yeah, there was some interference in the tunnel, Dr. Robert. Almost as if there was another vortex operating at the same time and on the same frequency that veered off at the last moment. A measurement of time so small, it would be categorized in Planck time. Strange.
I heard some shouting. I couldn't make it out.
I expected some welcome. Perhaps Doctors Illion and Thamy are preparing for their experiment.
They're investigating some sort of quantum fluctuations out here. Is it really supposed to be a pocket of time?
A rather peculiar way of expressing that, Dr. Robert, but not totally off the mark.
Perhaps they went into this room here. Don't know if we can get in there. There's a handprint security device.
ID recognized. Welcome to the science station, Dr. Robert.
But I've never been here before.
Obviously, someone thinks you have. Let's go in.
Professor, we may be in the time trap now. It must have been what you did.
That's kind of rude. We haven't been formally introduced.
What are you talking about, Robert?
We came to see your probe. When does it launch?
It launched hours ago and just impacted the quantum fluctuation. But things are not right. Not right at all.
It's as if the fluctuation become bigger the moment just before the quantum probe hit. Was it your vortex, Professor?
We're unaware of doing anything to cause any issue to you or your experiment.
Is that the fluctuation there? What am I seeing?
When the probe hit the fluctuation, the field enveloped all around us. What you're seeing is that we're in the fluctuation itself. You can try to get a better look back at the observatory if you want to. We're rather busy here.
Curious. Come along, Dr. Robert. The observatory is...
You know where it is. Down to the right. You didn't forget already, did you? I'd show you, but we have too much work to do here.
We'll find it. To the observatory, then. They're rather odd, aren't they? Acting very familiar for strangers, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. There is a due amount of stress when the results of an experiment come in, and it's not what was expected. Robert, if you would do the honors and open the door.
ID recognized. Welcome to the Observation Center, Dr. Robert.
Such a spacious room, and what a view from here.
The fluctuation. It's enormous. Beautiful and yet frightening at the same time.
It is remarkable. A true representation of the power before us. It doesn't seem like it's enveloped us, though.
Is it because we're in a different room with a better vantage point?
Not likely, Dr. Robert. Think it through.
This is the time pocket? I'm not sure I fully understand. What did the probe do?
It seems they meant to measure this fluctuation, but something went wrong. We don't know what it was.
There you are. This is my favorite room.
I can see why. But weren't you too busy to come with us to the observation room?
Oh, we won't be that kind of busy until the probe hits.
You said the probe hit already. Things went haywire.
No, it's going to hit. See? There it is there.
Can you enhance the view at all?
View enhanced, 250%.
There it is. But do you worry at all what effect the probe is going to have on our station?
The station is protected by a quantum field, and the distance between the station and the fluctuation is substantial. We should be safe here.
But I thought it enveloped your station.
Of course not. The size of the fluctuation shouldn't allow for that. Why would you think that?
You're receiving a message from Dr. Ilian.
Dr. Themin, can you come here to the laboratory? The probe is about to hit.
On my way!
I expected something extraordinary by coming to a science station to find out about this fluctuation, but something unusual is going on here, Professor. Are the people in charge here somewhat scatterbrained?
Not at all. They are highly accomplished and brave science explorers. They were handpicked for this assignment.
Let's go get some answers.
I've got my reader. I'm all set.
Dr. Ilian, I thought you were in the laboratory.
Oh, I won't have to be there until just before the probe hits.
So the probe definitely hasn't hit.
You were just in the observatory. I assume you saw that for yourself.
Dr. Themin got your message and will meet you there.
Message? What are you blithering on about, Robert? Really?
Dr. Ilian, can you tell me about your theories about this quantum fluctuation?
It's rather exciting. You see, people consider time as a constant concept. And by constant, we really mean flowing in one direction. Think of it as an arrow. It flows in one direction.
So there's no time travel, then?
Not to the past, no. It's not like the science fiction movies. Time travels only, of course, if you will, when we move forward. So imagine a planet comparatively near up to a black hole, but not yet affected by it, and consider a spaceship sent to explore the black hole and gets close to it as it can to the event horizon, which, as we know, you wouldn't be able to escape with a gravitational pull. But regardless, in this theoretical exercise, time will be perceived differently by someone on the planet than someone on the ship near the event horizon.
The perception and the measurement may seem different, but in all cases, it's still moving in the direction of the arrow, moving forward.
But what if I told you this quantum fluctuation giving off inverse readings of a quasi-event horizon? It appears to hold a pocket of time. It's extraordinary! We're sending a probe in to see if we can make any sort of measurements and understand the nature of time itself. I should get to the lab now. See you there!
So, what is an inverse reading of a quasi-event horizon?
We use terms to try to understand our world, but sometimes the worlds fail to adequately describe the quantum fluctuation.
Should we meet them back at the lab?
What choice do we have?
Welcome to the laboratory, Dr. Robert.
They're not here. Where are they?
Surely they have readings they must go over from the probe.
If I'm looking at this correctly, the probe hasn't hit it yet.
Yet?
In fact, it seems further away from the fluctuation than it was when we saw it from the observatory.
I'm beginning to see there's more at work here than meets the eye, or at least what we can perceive.
Welcome, Dr. Ilian.
Oh, there you are, Professor Robert. It must have worked.
What worked?
Sending up the probe, of course. There was no trap, after all.
Trap? I don't follow you, Ilian.
After we sent the probe. We just did it. You were there. I'm looking forward to the results.
I regret to inform you, we've been here.
You're an odd one, aren't you? Oh, I forgot the handheld reader. It helps me view the data more easily than a large screen.
You're the odd one.
I fear there may be an explanation to this mystery, Robert. We should find the answers in the control center. That's where they launched the probe. If my expectations are correct, we will find the solution there.
Here's the control center.
The ID is not recognized.
My handprint isn't working. It's been working the entire time.
Come in. Dr. Themi, can you get the door?
Let's get you squared away, Robert. There. You're now input into the system.
Now I'm allowed to use the system. Open any doors I want.
Robert, the answer has been in front of us all along. It appears that we have been experiencing events in reverse time.
Reverse time?
You'll explain to us that linear time is an arrow that flows in one direction, forward. But when you launched your quantum probe into the fluctuation, the force sent time to flow backwards. We are somewhat protected in the quantum ship, but not immune entirely.
The fluctuation is not sufficient enough power to create that effect.
The quantum probe didn't create the change in power.
That means something we are going to do reverse the direction of time's arrow.
When Robert and I arrived, we arrived at the moment the probe impacted the anomaly, and time has gone backwards since. I regret to tell you, Dr. Ilian, Dr. Themi, but you are trapped in the station as events in time occur in reverse order.
Time's arrow is now facing the opposite way.
If what you say is correct, Professor, the primary duty is to reverse the problem to allow the time to flow forward. There is no greater duty than that. Time must be allowed to flow forward. If we miss the window, it will be too late.
Now a natural process only flows in one direction. How do we change the direction of time?
In a closed system, entropy cannot decrease over time, so we must open Pandora's box and insert a new variable into the equation with more power than the time probe itself.
Professor, could we use the power of the vortex?
Yes! The quantum field of the vortex could capture the fluctuation in one place and close a loop around it. We would send the vortex into the fluctuation and back again, changing, of course, only in the last moment.
A moment measured by Planck time?
Exactly. Our path creates a shape through time, not unlike a figure eight.
Ouroboros, the serpent is eating its own tail.
A closed loop. This will mean, for all time, there will be a pocket of time here, and that's the fluctuation.
We are creating the very pocket in time we were investigating.
Professor, the disturbance we felt in the vortex just before we arrived, was that ourselves leaving as we're about to do?
But there's a catch.
I'm afraid so.
Someone has to be here to launch the probe, otherwise there's a paradox.
If there is some sort of trap, then the amount of energy we need has to remain constant. The professor and the doctor were not fully on the station at the time the loop was created, so they are now able to not fully be on the station when the loop hits. But we'll have to stay.
I'm sorry, Dr. Themi, but this is not the adventure I'd promised you.
We always wanted to study time, Dr. Ilian. Now we will study time forever in the loop.
We may find yet better solution.
I don't wish to sound corny, but we've run out of time.
Robert, stop the vortex corridor. Dr. Ilian, Dr. Themi, we will work to find a way to pull you out of the loop. One day, we will find that solution.
We may yet figure out a solution on our own. Professor, after all, we have all the time in the world.
Farewell.
They're arriving and departing at the same time.
If we call out to them as a warning, could they hear us? Could we alter these events?
Well, we could yell.
Ouroboros.
Ouroboros! Ouroboros! Ouroboros!